Praise God. Thanks for joining us again on the Adult and Teen Challenge of the Upper Cumberland podcast. Hope everything is going well. Man, it has definitely been some weather. We got snow one day, 50s the next. Snow one day, 50s the next. If you don't like the weather in Tennessee, just wait around 24 hours. You know it's going to change. But I'm just excited. I've been teaching for the last several weeks. I think this is week five, if I'm not mistaken, on the gifts of God. We started last time, we began to talk about the gifts of the Father, and I broke these down into three different areas: the gifts of the Father, the gifts of the Son, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We understand that all of these gifts are gifts given to us by God for the work of the ministry, not just for people that are in ministry. I really want you to understand that the reason I get so passionate, the reason I love teaching on the spiritual gifts, is because I came from a denomination, from a church that did not talk about the things of the Holy Spirit. They did not talk about the gifts that God gives us. And I stayed bound for 2.5 years, even in church. I struggled with substance abuse because I didn't understand the power that the Spirit of God gives us. Jesus said that it's to our advantage that He went away, because He was going to send us the Holy Ghost, the Paracletos, the one that comes alongside of us, and that He was going to be with us. 1 John 4:4 says, "As greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world." And I didn't understand those scriptures back then. But then when God delivered me in radical transformation of my life, and He delivered me from alcohol and from substance abuse, and my life was forever transformed, then He called me into the ministry to help preach hope to those that were bound. I understood that it was the Holy Spirit. It was the gifts of the Spirit of God that's going to free people. We need to educate ourselves on these gifts again. So these gifts are not just for people that are in ministry. These are gifts for each and every one of us every day, for our own lives, and also to reach out to touch other people. You are the hands and feet of Jesus. You are the mouth of Jesus here on the earth today. You are the light in a dark world, and you need to make sure that you've got all the fuel, all the oil in your lamp so that you can shine bright. And we do that through understanding the Word of God, through understanding the gifts of God. So again, we started talking about the gifts of the Father, and we looked at Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. Now, first, let me back up real quick. 1 Corinthians 12:4 is where we started. We started looking for 1 Corinthians 12:4. And in 1 Corinthians 12:4, he says, "There are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit." So there's differences of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. So then he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, he says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." So every time Paul mentions these gifts here in Romans chapter 12, he says that we need to use these gifts that God has given us. And so we need to make sure that we're doing these things, we understand these things. So we broke down each one of these gifts over the last couple times. But now I want to transition from the gifts of the Father over into what I call the gifts of the Son. And again, I just keep on emphasizing that all of these gifts come from God, but just to make it easier for us to understand. So let's look at the second area of gifts of God, and we call these the gifts of the Son. These are also referred to as the ministry gifts, or maybe you've heard them described this way as the fivefold ministry gifts. So we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look in verses 11 through 13. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. And Paul says, "And he himself," talking about Jesus, "he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So when we think about these things, as he begins to give us these offices, and that's what Paul's talking about here in Ephesians chapter 4, is these offices that God has called us. Now, first, I want everybody to understand, so many times people get so caught up in titles. Now, you may think, well, that could be you, Pastor Tim, because you always introduce yourself as Pastor Tim. And that started when I was on staff at Trinity, beginning in 2004. I was on a pastoral role, a shepherd role, on staff underneath Pastor Mike Campbell. I was an associate pastor underneath him. Then when I made the transition to Adult and Teen Challenge in 2009, I got to thinking about this, and the Lord began to speak to me about spiritual authority. And so the thing is, this is they call me Pastor Tim because I have the role of a shepherd for these ladies. But I also operate a lot of times in the ministry that God's called me to do, more in the work of an evangelist. So I don't walk around calling myself Evangelist Tim, but there are some people that do that. The reason I call myself Pastor Tim is that as these ladies and the young men that we help talk to me, instead of just calling me Tim, by calling me Pastor Tim, they understand that I'm their shepherd. I'm here to help them. Sometimes when we get too comfortable, I think about Dr. Mark Barclay. Dr. Mark Barclay wrote a book, and in one of the chapters in this book, is he talked about the sin of familiarity. And I think so many times people have got caught up in that sin of familiarity, where we don't address the prophet, we don't address the pastor, we don't address the evangelist according to their title. If you served in a civilian army, if you served in the army that we have here in the United States, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, or the United States Marine Corps, URAW, if you served in one of those branches of military, you would have to address those that are above you in rank according to that rank. You would call him sergeant or staff sergeant or captain or colonel or general. You would not just call them by their name. We are serving in the army of the Lord. We are serving in a spiritual army, so to speak. And I believe that we have to take note of these titles that are given to us. Not that we put them upon ourselves, but that we understand that God assigns these to us. It's God that calls us. It's God that gifts us. It's God that anoints us to do the work that we do. So again, here in Ephesians chapter 4, we're looking at these ministry gifts. And we look at these things, we call these the gifts of the Son, and we talk about them because Paul also says, where we first started this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 5, he said there are differences in ministries, but the same Lord. There are differences in ministries. So we're talking about the ministry, the fivefold ministry, or the ministry gifts. So the first of these ministry gifts, the differences of ministries that we're going to look at under the gifts of the Son, is we want to look at the gift of the apostle. The gift of the apostle. The title apostle is only applied to a specific group of leaders in the New Testament. The term apostle was never used until after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We never see the term apostle used anywhere in the Old Testament or anywhere in the Gospels. The only time we see the term apostle used is after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The term apostle means one sent forth. One sent forth. The Apostle Paul was such as, and he shares his story in his conversion in Acts chapter 26, verse 14 through 18, when he begins to talk about how he went from being this Pharisee among Pharisees, but he was called out by God, and then God made him an apostle. And Paul says, I didn't call myself an apostle. They called me an apostle because God sent Paul out. God told Paul right there when he had his encounter on the road to Damascus, and later when Ananias came and laid hands, he said that Paul was going to be sent out to the Gentiles to preach the gospel, to preach the good news to the Gentile nations. The greatest example of an apostle is found in Jesus Christ himself. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, it says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Jesus himself, Son of God, sent to the earth, God incarnate, sent to the earth to minister to his people. Jesus was sent by God. God incarnate, Son of God, came into the earth, sent by the Heavenly Father for the purpose of declaring the good news and then suffering and dying and rising again for you and for I. Jesus was the first apostle. And then from there we saw the 12 that walked with him, 11 of the 12 anyways, that walked with Jesus when he was on the earth, that later they go from being disciples, which are ones that are being taught, to the apostles, which are now the ones that are being sent. So first they were learning, then they were sent to teach. And the Apostle Paul later became one of those. Even though he didn't walk with Jesus as one of the disciples on earth, he was discipled by Christ. And we see that in Galatians chapter 1, where Paul talks about being in Arabia and having an encounter with the resurrected Savior. And then therefore, Paul was sent out to preach this good news. So Jesus was the first apostle that we see. The Bible says in John chapter 20, verse 21, "So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.'" So Jesus, being the first apostle sent by the Father, then in John chapter 20, breathes on his disciples. They receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then he tells them, "Just as the Father sent me, now I'm sending you to go and fulfill the work that I started here on the earth." See, a true apostle is one sent with a commission, not one who merely goes about, goes and just does whatever, but it's one that's sent with a specific commission and goes out with by the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, see, there are some people that want to go out and they say, "Well, I want to live in Arizona. And so I'm going to go start a church there." Well, that does not make them an apostle, because maybe God didn't send them to that area. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine the other day, and he said, "Pastor Tim, I've known you for many years." He said, "But you said something the other day in a meeting that really kind of struck me." And he said, "How is it that a young man from North Detroit would end up in Cookeville, Tennessee, and then become the executive director of Adult and Teen Challenge of the Upper Cumberland here in this area?" And I begin to share with him the story. And see, this is the deal. And I'm not trying to call myself an apostle, so please don't misunderstand me. But what happened was I was on my way from Pontiac, Michigan to Decatur, Alabama. But I stopped in Cookeville, Tennessee. Didn't even know Cookeville, Tennessee existed, but God sent me to this area. Here I got saved. Here I got delivered from drugs and alcohol. Here I was anointed by God to declare the good news, the message of hope to those that are hopeless. God sent me through the ministry of the Holy Spirit to touch people's lives that were bound in addiction. So you got to be sent by the Holy Spirit. You got to be commissioned by God, not just because you want to go, but because you're listening and you're obeying the commission that God has sent you out in. The apostle is a sent one by the Holy Spirit. And we see this in Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 3. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 3. If you have your Bibles, you can go over here. Acts chapter 13. I'm getting mine flipped over there real quick. And it says, Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 3 says, "Now the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius, the Cyrenian, Manium, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted and prayed," look at this now, "the Holy Spirit said," it wasn't the people that said, it was the Holy Spirit that said, "Separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them to do." Then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them, and then what'd they do? They sent them. See, it was the Holy Spirit that spoke to them that sent them on their way. So not only is the apostle one that is sent, but also the apostle is one that goes out in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's one that operates in signs and wonders. We see this signs and wonders. Go with me real quick to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's look at this. Again, talking about the apostle that is sent out. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 12. Truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. See, let me read that again. Truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs and in wonders and in mighty deeds. So we see that the apostle is not only sent out to go minister someplace, but they're sent out with the work of the Holy Spirit. They're sent out with the power of God to do many signs and wonders. The characteristics of an apostle, the characteristics of an apostle is first and foremost to be a preacher or a teacher of the word. That's what they're sent to do. They're sent out to tell others, to preach the word of God, to tell people about Jesus. So the first characteristic of an apostle is to be a preacher or teacher. The second characteristic of an apostle is one that operates in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And again, we'll talk about these a little bit later and break down the gifts of the Spirit. But they're sent out under the anointing and under the gifting of the Holy Spirit for signs and wonders. And number three, they are sent out to share their deep personal experiences. How many times do we see throughout the Bible where the Apostle Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, shares his story? He's always talking about what God did in his life, where he was brought out, his Damascus Road experience, how he was let down over the wall, how he was beaten, he was shipwrecked, he was in prison. He constantly is talking about all of these things. He's sharing his deep personal experience with others so that others can see this hope. Why did God call me from Pontiac, Michigan to Cookeville, Tennessee to start a teen challenge ministry? Because God changed and transformed my life, and He wants me to use my story, my testimony to help others. That's why the Bible says in Revelation chapter 11, He says, we've been made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimony, our deep personal experiences. The fourth characteristic of an apostle is that they will have the power and the ability to establish churches. They will have the power and the ability to establish churches. Not only was Paul sent out just to preach and do crusades, Paul went out, and where he preached, there he began to start churches. He went out first to Antioch. Antioch was the first place that we see people called Christians. Paul started a church there in Antioch. He started ministering. People wanted to know more. And from that became the first church there in Antioch. And then from there, as Paul began his journeys, every place that Paul went, churches were established. It wasn't that the Apostle Paul stayed there to pastor those churches, but it was that Paul was sent there to get those churches established, then put somebody else in control of those churches to carry those on. And we see that when we begin to look at men like Timothy and men like Titus that go out and he begins to talk to them. Those are called the pastoral epistles because Paul is training them up for the work of the ministry. And then number five, the fifth characteristic of the apostle is they will be a person with the ability to provide adequate spiritual leadership. Listen, you're never going to see somebody, if you see somebody that calls themselves an apostle, but they are, do not have the leadership qualities to lead in anything, they are not a true apostle called from God. Somebody that is a true apostle, called by God, sent by God, anointed by God, filled with the Spirit of God to go to do signs and wonders, to preach and to teach, this person will have adequate spiritual leadership abilities to do what God has called them to do. And so again, we can see that when we look through the lives of men like the Apostle Paul, who had great leadership and people would listen to him and they would do what Paul said to do because of the anointing that was upon him. So the question many have to ask themselves today, or the question many do ask themselves, I should say, is do apostles still exist today? And the answer is absolutely yes. Again, we just don't use the term like they used to in the Bible. We don't go around calling people the apostle so-and-so. We'll hear about the evangelist. We'll hear about the prophet. And of course, like I said, the pastor, but we don't call people so much by apostles today as we used to, but there are many that are operating in a lot of these other offices that are truly apostles sent by God. And they're doing great and mighty works today. And the thing is this, if we know more about them, if we're educated in these things, then we will be able to recognize an apostle when we come around one. The second office that I want to talk about quickly, and then we'll finish this up for today. The second office or the second ministry gift that I want to talk about is the prophet. The prophet. Now, we talked a little bit about prophecy when we talked in Romans chapter 12, but let's look at this. The prophet is one that speaks from the impulse of sudden inspiration. He speaks from the impulse of sudden inspiration, from the light of sudden revelation at the moment. So again, a lot of times, and I say that, I want you to understand some things, is that the prophet is, it's not somebody that, how can I say this? They're not, you know, there's a lot of people that I think just sit around, and they're constantly thinking of these things that they want to say. They're trying to plan things up. They're trying to work things up. They do a lot of studying, and they try to look at stuff, and then they try to call themselves a prophet. But a true prophet, when they speak, it's usually by the sudden inspiration of God. It's something that is not planned. It is not an event that has been worked up. It is something that is sudden. It's the idea of speaking from a sudden revelation. And it's led by the Spirit of God. Now, we understand that usually when the prophet speaks from this sudden revelation, we understand that most of the time it pertains to things, future events. But understand it's the mind of the Spirit of God that is speaking through the prophet, and it's a sudden revelation to the people. And that's what makes it so powerful, is when the prophet speaks. I never forget, I remember years ago, I think this was, I want to say 2003, when Pastor Dad Hagen, Pastor Hagen was, he got up to minister, and the Spirit of God fell, and Dad Hagen sat there. They brought him a chair, and he began to speak under the inspiration of the Lord, and he began to prophesy about 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006, and I think 2007. I think it was 5 years. Dad Hagen died later that year, never saw any of that come to pass, but everything that Dad Hagen said did end up coming to pass. And what he said came suddenly. It was not something that was worked up. It was something that God spoke through Dad Hagen on that day pertaining to future events. The thing you need to understand about a prophet is a prophet speaks by direct and divine inspiration. He speaks by direct and divine. In other words, it comes from God, direct and divine inspiration and immediate revelation. It's not something thought out, but it's something that is given on the spur of the moment. To stand in the office of a prophet, one is first of all a minister of the gospel. Let me say that again. To stand in the office of a prophet, one is first of all a minister of the gospel. They are separated and called to the ministry with the calling of God upon their life. A prophet is one who is called into full-time ministry. I remember years ago, I had a young lady that I had helped get into Teen Challenge. She graduated Teen Challenge, and she called me one day, and she said, "Pastor Tim, I've met this guy, and I would like for you to meet him because I think we may end up getting married." And I said, "Are you sure you want me to meet him?" She says, "Well, yes, you're my spiritual father, and I want your opinion because I'm not going to marry him if you don't approve." I said, "Honey," I said, "are you sure about that? Because I've experienced things like this before, and people don't get happy with me." She said, "No, I really do want you to meet him, and I want to know what you think." So I really prayed. I thought, "Lord, make sure that my heart's right. Give me discernment and help me to do rightly. I don't want to pass judgment on this young man. I want it to come from the Lord." And so the day they showed up, it was a couple weeks later, they showed up over here and they walked into my office, and we kind of made some small talk, and I was asking her about how she had been doing. Well, then I looked at him. I said, "So tell me about you." He said, "Well, I'm a prophet." And I had to I almost started laughing. I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "I'm a prophet." I said, "Well, first and foremost, who said you were a prophet?" He said, "Well, I said I'm a prophet." I said, "Well, the thing is in the Bible, the prophet never usually calls himself the prophet. It's others that call the person the prophet." I said, "The other thing is this, what do you do for a living?" And he was in some kind of retail sales or something like that, and had not been to any type of schooling, didn't preach, had no affiliation with the ministry, didn't even have a pastor or was grounded in a home church. He just kind of bounced around, and yet he called himself a prophet. And so we sat there and talked for a minute, and so they got ready to leave, and she looked at me and she said, "Well, what do you think?" I said, "Honey," I said, "I think you need to run as fast as you can and get away from this guy." And she got offended. He got offended. Sure enough, they got married a couple months later, and within a year, they were divorced. He was cheating on her and took a bunch of her money. And this guy was a false prophet. He was not a prophet because he was not called into full-time ministry. He was not separated by God. He called himself something and would try to stir up things to get other people to think that he was something that he was not. When we look at the word prophet in the Old Testament, I remember I said apostles were never mentioned of in the Old Testament, but prophets were mentioned in the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, the prophets were called seers. They were called seers. We see this in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 9. And when it begins to talk to them, he says, "Come, let us go to the seer, for he who is now called the prophet was formerly called the seer." And we see that again in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 9. So we do see this gift, Old Testament and New Testament. Again, you're not a prophet just because you have prophesied. And we'll talk more about prophecy a little bit later. But just because you've had an unction to prophesy does not make you a prophet. There have been times in my life where the Spirit of God have come upon me and I have spoke something forth and given a prophecy. And again, I'll explain more about prophecy here in a little bit. But that did not make me a prophet. Okay, that just meant that the Spirit of God, the gift of prophecy came upon me, but that did not make me one that I would walk around and begin to call myself a prophet of God. The difference between prophecy and the ministry of a prophet, excuse me, and again, we looked at this a little bit in Acts chapter 13 earlier where Paul was sent out to the apostles. But let's go back and look at the scripture again in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, because it says, "Now the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius the Syrian, Manahem, who had been brought with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit began to speak to them." So understand, if you look at this, it calls them, Luke, who is writing this, begins to recognize them as prophets. They were men with the gift of prophecy. They were men with the gift of prophecy that spoke a word from God over Paul and Barnabas. Okay? So they were men with the gift of prophecy that spoke a word over Paul and Barnabas. They probably had spoken many words like this so they could be called a prophet because they could operate in the gift of the office of a prophet, not just because of this one particular time that they prophesied. All right? Notice also that prophet does more than just prophesy. Many prophets are preachers or teachers of the Word of God. I said the same thing about the apostle, and it's also true with the office of a prophet. Most prophets are preachers and teachers of the Word of God. They minister in the gifts of laying on of hands, and they also often operate in the gift of healings. And we'll look at that a little bit more later as well. So understand that a prophet is one that has visions and revelations. Now quickly, there are three types of revelations or visions that a true prophet will have. They will have a spiritual vision, such as we saw the Apostle Paul when he was on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. He had a spiritual vision. He saw Jesus. It says that the other man heard something, but they did not see. So the first area that people with the gift of prophecy is that they can have spiritual visions. Also, we see that they will have trances. Peter was not necessarily called a prophet, but we see that Peter in Acts chapter 10 was in a trance. He was sitting on the roof and he had a trance where the sheet was let down and God began to minister to him about don't call what I called good, don't call it unclean. What I call clean, don't call unclean. Then we also see open visions. Stephen, again, was not necessarily called a prophet, but Stephen operated in the gift of prophecy. And in Acts chapter 7, Stephen had an open vision where he saw into heaven. He saw right before his stoning, he saw Jesus in heaven. So we can see that there are different types of visions, different types of revelations that those that operate in the gift of prophecy can have. So the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:1, the Apostle Paul says, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially prophesy, that you would prophesy. Now, again, I'm a card-carrying member of the Assemblies of God. I'm an ordained minister. I'm sitting at my desk right now. I'm looking at my ordination certificate. And with the Assemblies of God, one of the things that we believe with our 16 fundamental truths is we believe in the initial physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit being tongues. But Paul himself even says, I would rather you prophesy than even speak in tongues. Prophecy is an important office and should not be taken lightly. And once again, as I said about apostles, we need to understand and we need to recognize these gifts, these spiritual offices. They are important and they again, are prophets just like the apostles? Are they there here today? Absolutely. And we need to know these things. We need to know our word so that we can recognize these men and women of God that God has called and anointed for such a time as this. Now, our time is coming gone today. I hope you're enjoying these teachings. If you haven't, if today's the first day, go back and listen to the other ones. But we'll continue along with the gifts of God in the next coming weeks. And we hope you'll continue to join us. Father, I pray that you bless each and every one that's listening. Keep them safe and protected. May your hand be upon them. May every need be supplied according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Father, we love you. We thank you, Father God, that you love us. And we give you all praise, glory, and honor for all these things. For your word is truth. Your promises are yes and amen. They are rich for edification for those that know it. And we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.